Good morning, listeners. This is Patty Black. Good morning, listeners. This is Patty Black. I am back doing the good news show for you. Good morning. Today's November 14th, 2011, and it's a beautiful, beautiful day outside. And I am going to introduce you to a wonderful person. He's going to be just one of our special guests who I've recently met and have also just learned so much from. I want you to grab a pen and a piece of paper because I know that you're going to want to take notes and listen to this interview. If you have any questions, you can contact us. What you would do is you would either call in or send an email. If you call in, you would call in our call-in number, and I'm going to give it to you now. It's 323-693-3035. Again, it's 323-693-3035. And if you want to send an email during the show, we will answer your questions also. You can send the email to goodnewsshow@yahoo.com. That's GoodNewsShow@yahoo.com. And I want to thank you, all of you loyal listeners, for being with us today and for sharing the good news and spreading the word. So today's guest is Bruce Stewart. He got his BA in psychology. He has a master's in NLP. He's a consultant, a coach, and an author with 30 years of proven success helping individuals and organizations clarify goals, handle challenging transitions. He believes that we all have access to the resources we need for the purpose we want to fulfill, and sometimes we just need a little help and support locating them within ourselves. I recently had a session with Bruce Stewart, and I am changed. I really feel a shift, and my focus is very strong. I feel grounded, and it's just been just a healthy feeling that I have been left with. So we're going to introduce Bruce to you today, and I'm going to see if I can bring him into the show now.
Are you all there?
Good morning, Bruce. Welcome to the Good News Show. Now we have you here live with us. How are you today?
Oh, thanks. I'm doing very well. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm doing well also, and I haven't talked to you since our session on Friday, and I just want to thank you again. I feel a shift. I feel just high energy, and I really want to thank you on air, and I want our listeners to hear how I appreciate what you've been able to share with me. Also, I brought you into the show today because I would love for you to share what you do with our listeners. I know you're helping a lot of people. So if you could just, let's start with introduce yourself and tell our listeners a little bit about what you do.
Okay, sure, Patty. Well, my background is in psychology, as you mentioned, and I worked in psychiatric hospitals as well as a sports medical complex where I was working with the physicians there, helping them with their patients who were so stressed out that they had stress symptoms like headaches and gastric problems and high blood pressure and spasmodic torticollis and all kinds of strange things too. And in those days, I was using biofeedback primarily as my tool, and I opened up one of the first biofeedback product clinics in the country in 1973, and so enjoyed being on the forefront of that movement, and then about 5 years later went into NLP after attending a workshop that just turned my head around completely.
Okay.
And so I've been using NLP, which is basically a system that teaches you how to learn what you want to learn very efficiently and very quickly.
Uh-huh.
Does that make sense?
That makes sense. And for our listeners who have not heard of NLP, NLP is Neuro-Linguistic Programming. And it's been around for quite some time. I'm sure you've seen it evolve as you started in 1979, I believe.
Actually, 1978 began. And yes, I've seen some of the people who put together NLP as a field, and what their initial idea was, Patty, was to try to figure out how to teach others how to communicate clearly and effectively. And so they decided they would study the best communicators in the world at that time, and they picked out three primary people: Fritz Perls, who was the father of Gestalt psychology; Virginia Satir, who was the mother, I guess you could say, of family systems and family systems theory; and then also Milton Erickson, who was the first person to bring over medical hypnosis to the United States. So what they did was they studied these three people, and they went to their workshops for years and years, and studied the videos afterwards, and tried to find what they could see and what they could hear that would actually be a pattern that perhaps they could then break down into simple parts and teach it to others as a way to communicate more effectively, not only with others, but also within themselves. And for 4 or 5 years, they couldn't really figure out a thing. And finally, they started to see some things in the videos, and they realized that body language had a lot to do with it, with how well their results were getting along, and also the tone of people's voice and their gestures and things like that. So that became the very foundation of NLP. And NLP, as you mentioned, neuro-linguistic programming, was the first field that discovered that there are different learning styles for people. Some people are auditory. They learn better when they hear something. Other people are visual, so they pick up information just by seeing things. While other people are what we call kinesthetic, which means either through motion, movement and balance, or emotion, they learn rather rapidly. And so this was really a bit of news to the whole field of psychology and learning theory at the time, and since then has been used by most fields of human endeavor in the world.
Wow, that's amazing. And you were right there in the early stages. How did you just have an intuitive understanding of it enough for you to engage and follow through with incorporating it into your career?
I'd like to say I did, but I knew it was hard. I didn't intuitively know what was going on. I knew that the fellow that did the first workshop I ever attended, whose name was Greg Brodsky, videotaped the seminar, and about a third of the way through it, he stopped the videotape, and he said, you know, that person that we're just talking to here, they access visual information, then they spoke, and then they access information from their past visually. And let's run the tape back and see it. And so, you know, we were all standing there kind of just amazed that he could even imagine that kind of information to say it. And when he ran back the videotape, he actually showed us that how that person accessed that information. And one of the ways that NLP perceives information or shows how a person is connecting with the information is what we call NLP eye patterns, which is a whole new discovery that this field of NLP picked up. And so very simply put, if a person looks up, they're accessing visual information. If they look either straight ahead or from side to side at the height of their eyes, they're picking up auditory information, sound. And if they look down to the left, they're picking up how they talk to themselves, internal dialogue, we call it. And if they look bottom right, then they're picking up either motion or emotion, you know, movement or emotion. And so you can watch a person and see and hear where they're accessing their information from, which changes rapidly from time to time, but also it's a way for you to understand this person a little better. Because what they found out, Patty, is that if a person, let's say you're talking to somebody who's very visual and you're more auditory, so if you say to that person, you know, sounds to me like what you're saying is, you know, whatever, or I'm hearing you say this and that, they will not understand you quite very well because they're in another language, and that language is coded visual. Whereas if you say, oh, yeah, I'm starting to get the picture of what you're saying, or Well, looks to me as though what you're wanting to do is this and that. So if you'll pair your way of talking, which is the linguistic part, to how they're accessing their information, you'll have a much better chance of being understood and actually that person using the information that you're sharing with them. Otherwise, it's kind of like talking Spanish to a German who's never studied Spanish. They just won't get it.
Right. Right. So it's a matter of matching up the language that the person understands.
Yeah,
whether
exactly.
it be auditory, visual. That's so interesting. And, you know, just a little side note, I remember one of our conversations pertaining to movies and actors and you know, I just found it interesting to think about, you know, when somebody's acting in a movie, are they using these signals in the correct way of the way the character would be using it? Who's, you know, and matching it up to the verbiage in their dialogue. So I found that to be very interesting, an interesting thought.
Well, where that comes from, just to let the audience know, is that if you want to study eye patterns, the first way is to do that is to start to look at movies or television and watch how the commentators or the actors and actresses move their eyes. And so, again, if they're looking up, it's visual. If they're looking level or right at the person, then it's auditory information they're accessing. Bottom left is internal dialogue, and bottom right is movement or emotion. And so what I found, Patty, is if a person is in their role as an actor or actress, they'll be so inside that character that they'll have to access the information as I'm just saying. Whereas if they are kind of a B actor or a new actor, they may not be so good at accessing that information, and they'll be maybe relying on their lines and trying to remember their lines rather than really living the character's role.
Right, rather than being in the character and feeling like they are that character.
Right, so one of the fun things about B-movies is you get to see somebody who's kind of missing the moment there. And,
that's funny.
I'll sense that, but not another way of really verifying that.
Well, at this point, I just want to tell our listeners that you're listening to Bruce Stewart. And if you have a question, feel free to call in. Our call-in number is 323-693-3035. Again, it's 323-693-3035. And if you'd like to send an email to the Good News Show, it's our email address is godnewsshow@yahoo.com. Again, it's godnewsshow@yahoo.com, and you are listening to Patty Black with the Good News Show, broadcasting live on air. And let's go back to Bruce. Bruce, do you have maybe an example of how you've been able to help somebody with the NLP?
Sure, Patty. Well, one of the ways that we help people with NLP is by using the eye patterns. And so since we were already talking about those, maybe we'll just drift into that area. So when people remember something, they'll tend to look to the upper left-hand corner. And if they're visualizing something that they want to do but they have not yet done, they'll look to the upper right. Now, all these places that people look for their eye patterns, by the way, are reversed if the person is left-handed. So you have to find out which hand they is their primary right hand they write with, and then you can figure out the eye patterns from there. But anyway, recently I've been working a lot with people who have sleep problems, and just finished a book called Sleep So Deep with my wife a few months ago, and so we're starting to work with a lot of people who have problems with their sleep, insomnia, and that kind of thing. And I guess as a result of that, or maybe not, I'm not sure how, but I've been working with a lot of people's dreams lately, and what I find with dreams is that you can work on the pattern of the dream rather than the content so much, and if you just change the pattern, then the content will change. In other words, the thinking pattern, which is how the mind accesses those eye movements. The eye movements are really how you gain access to that information in your brain. And so if you change how a person accesses the information in their brain, as we did, Patty, then you'll change their perception and their emotional feeling of the event as well. So anyway, recently I was working with a woman who had nightmares for many years, actually decades, and she was very concerned about this because she was only sleeping about 3 or 4 hours a night, and that's not enough for any human being, or not very many anyway.
Oh, that's awful.
She mentioned that she had this nightmare, and so I wanted to find out how she accessed that information. So I had her close her eyes, and she did, and I had her get a picture of the nightmare in her mind's eye, and she was able to do that very quickly because she's a visual learner. And so then I had her point as though there was a visual TV set right in front of her. I had her just point to where she saw that particular nightmare, and she said it was straight ahead and about 10 or 12 feet away, and it was also in color. So that was fine. I had her open her eyes then, and we talked a little bit, and what I found with nightmares is often that those are connected to experiences that we've had as children, usually before the age of 12, 14 at the most, and sure enough, she had a very upsetting event that happened when she was 4 years old, and she was by herself, and she happened to see a man, who's a big man, and got scared of him, and just nobody else was around, and she ran away, and there really wasn't much other than that to the event, other than she really got scared. She was by herself, like I said. So anyway, as she described that, I had her close her eyes again and just tell me where on her visual screen she saw that, and she pointed over to the right corner, and so then I had her open her eyes after a moment, and then I had her reconnect with the first picture she had, and she realized as soon as she looked at that first picture, which was straight ahead, that it just jumped over to the right corner, and that basically she understood that moment that the nightmare was from that man she saw when she was 4 years old. So we were able to change her visualizing of that through an NLP technique called submodalities, which we actually worked together with Patty, to change how she saw that, and then eventually we were able to take all the emotional content out of it so that she had no fear of that anymore. She had no actual way to picture that anymore because we basically erased that from her way of seeing things. And now she's sleeping really good. She's sleeping the whole night through, 8 hours a night.
Oh, that's incredible. After decades of having this reoccurring dream and it impacting her sleep, you were able to go in and help her to the point where now she's getting a full night's sleep, and it is, I would imagine she's not having the nightmare, or it just doesn't have the same impact that it has.
But she doesn't have the same nightmare anymore. We tried, see, the NLP, you can always check your work, and when I was done with that scenario, I had her go back and try to revisualize that nightmare or the person that she saw when she was 4 years old, and she couldn't access neither one. Both of them were erased. Now,
wow.
It's not like she forgot that it happened. It's just that she can't get the visual memory anymore. And so NLP is a very quick way of getting results, which is one of the things I really love about it. And it doesn't require particularly a whole lot of analysis or trying to figure things out. We just change how you perceive what's going on, and then by doing that, the emotion is neutralized. Now, this is a way of, what I'm describing to you is a rather complex way of neutralizing an emotion or neutralizing an upsetting situation. There are also ways in NLP to add skills to a person. So if, let's say, you want to feel more confident or more under control or more organized or even happier, there are ways to, I like to use the term, plug you into that using something we call anchoring in NLP. And is it okay to describe that a little bit, Patty?
Yes, please. Tell us about anchoring.
Okay. So anchoring is a natural phenomenon, as are all these things that NLP discovered. And anchoring is simply a way of securing a state of mind or an emotion and being able to maintain it for a long time and then access it whenever you want to. So a simple anchor is, let's say, a favorite song that you had when you were younger, at whatever age you were, when you used to, you know, maybe you fell in love or you just had a particularly joyful experience or meaningful experience with a song. Every time you hear the first couple bars to that song, you'll feel that way again. And so that's called an auditory anchor. In other words, it's an auditory connection to a feeling state and an emotion. And so there's also physical anchors. You can, for instance, you could touch your right hand to your left wrist and remember a time when you felt confident. And this is one of the things I often teach in my executive and management trainings, so that people have the confidence to make decisions, to make clear decisions, and feel that they're able to stand up for themselves. And so with anchoring, in order to install an anchor, what you do is you hold onto a body part, let's say your wrist, for 15 or 20 seconds. And the whole time you want to be focusing in your mind on what it is you're wanting to anchor. So let's say you were 18 years old and you remember a time when you were confident, when you were 12 or something like that. And so you picture that experience as though it's happening now. You also feel the feelings of it and hear the words that you said or that somebody else said to you, so that it's kind of like surround sound in a way. And then after 20 seconds, that state of mind will be anchored. In this situation, we're talking about your wrist. So if you put in, let's say, 5 or 6 memories that you have of different situations in your life when you felt confident, and it's good to get different ages and different contexts for those anchors, then what you're doing then is called stacking anchors, and it's like stacking books. They become deeper and stronger and more powerful. And then if later on, like 5 minutes later or 5 days later or 5 weeks later, if you touch that same spot, you'll immediately access the confidence because, again, it's secured in that place there. In this situation, I'm talking about being in your wrist. And so that's a way to, I guess, create designer or states of mind, if you want to say that word, that you can count on them being there. And what I do is I have one for each finger. I touch my thumb to my index finger. That's one for a memory, one for my middle fingers, one for feeling healthy, one for my ring fingers for doing presentations, one for my little finger is relaxation again. And so you can make those anchors wherever you want them, as long as they're easy to reach. In other words, you wouldn't want to put one behind your knee, let's say. It might be a little too hard to get hold of there.
So you create. It sounds like you create the anchor, and then you can use it when you're in a situation and you need to call on that extra strength or that extra whatever you anchored.
That's a good way of saying it, Patty. Yeah. Matter of fact, let's say you're going into a meeting or you're going to talk to somebody that you really want to make a good impression on, and you want to feel strong inside. And let's say you have anchored confidence, so you can hold that confidence anchor just before you go into that situation, and you'll feel it. It'll come right up, and sometimes even the pictures that you installed in that position in your body will come up as well. So you know that they're well anchored, and then you bring that feeling state into the next situation, and, of course, you'll do great. And then if you have another situation in that time when you felt confident, then after that situation or maybe even doing it, you could anchor again. So anchors are very alive ways of connecting yourself with your experience and getting something better than you thought you'd get out of it.
It sounds so powerful, and it all links back to the NLP. Is it actually just reprogramming your thought relationships to your emotions, or?
I think that's a good way of saying it, Patty. Another way of saying it is that your thoughts are how you access information. In other words, you have visual thoughts, they're pictures. You have auditory thoughts, they're sound. You have talking to yourself thoughts, that's talking to yourself. You know, like, well, later on today, I better go and see so-and-so. How we talk to ourselves. And then feelings are how you feel about something. So all those ways, I think, are generally known as thoughts, but NLP makes them very specific as to what kind of thoughts they are, and then shows you ways to reach them, literally, as I mentioned, through anchoring and through the eye patterns that I described a little bit earlier.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's a pretty amazing field. One of the things that I've found, too, that really is helpful for people is in handling stress. NLP works fabulous with helping people handle stress because it doesn't dwell on the stress. It shows you how to gain resources from the stressful situation and what new opportunities are arising out of the stress. And so if you look in Chinese, the way that they write the word for crisis in their calligraphy, it has two parts. One part is, oh, this is a big crisis, you know, this is a very difficult time. And then on the other side, it says there's an opportunity here. And so the Chinese aren't looking at the problem so long, at least in the ancient times, they're looking now for how can you use this as an opportunity, as a springboard for to improve yourself, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And,
so in essence, it's like looking at the positive side of the situation.
Right. And I can't remember who it was, maybe it was Benjamin Franklin, somebody like that, said that whenever there's a door that's closed, another one opens.
Uh-huh.
The only problem is most people still look at the closed door. So you have to remember that when you're in a stressful there's going to be a really positive thing right around the bend there or even right in that event. And if you look for that, then you'll be able to move forward and not get stuck and not get so stressed out.
Right. That's a great analogy, too. Some people do still look at the door.
Yeah.
Wow. Bruce, it's so fun having you on the Good News Show today. This is a lot of information, and I'm just so grateful that you are on the show today sharing it with our listeners. I understand you've written a few books. Would you like to tell our listeners about your books?
Well, sure. I'd be glad to, Patty. It'd be a privilege. Our first book was called Your Way Home, and the subtitle is The Psychology of Place, Inside and Out. So that book is about how to gain access to your own resources to make you feel at home wherever you go. And then also the other part of the book is how to take that with you wherever you go so that you can create an emotional feeling of hominess, even if you're in a foreign country. So I wrote this also with my wife, and her expertise is interior design and feng shui. And so that's how to create that environment where you feel enriched. And then the NLP, and I've also been trained in Gestalt as well as biofeedback, is how to gain access within yourself to feel wonderful, which I think is really the job of human beings, is to feel joyous and feel really good.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you can give something to other people, and if you're feeling deficient, it's hard to give to anybody else. It's hard to have the emotional strength to reach out, you know?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So that was the first book. The second book is called Merging Two Nests, and it's about helping couples move in together for the first time. And so newlyweds and that kind of thing. And so teaches them information about, again, how to be resourceful, how to communicate clearly and effectively with your partner, and how to set up that move so that it's stress-free, how to create checklists and check them twice and that kind of thing, as well as once you get there, it teaches you how to set up your environment the fastest and most efficient way so that you feel at home, and so that the home that you create there represents you and doesn't feel like you just walked into somebody else's house and you know, you're staying the night or something like that. It really represents your furniture and your whatever, and all your lamps and everything like that, placed in a place that is nourishing to you and makes you feel uplifted.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How interesting. It's a blending of two personalities and their households.
Right. And, of course, we're using the communication skills from NLP for that, because there's a whole chapter in there about conflict resolution. And part of that is how to prevent conflicts, not just how to resolve them once they come up.
Mm-hmm.
That
sounds like a good book. Wow.
The whole impetus is to prevent the conflict and stress from coming up in the first place. Mm-hmm. And then the third book is called Sleep So Deep, and it's about sleeping better naturally, not using any medication, but because I've helped people for, now 3 decades, I guess, recognize their own skills and resources and how to use their body and their mind to relax them enough that they can go to sleep. If you sleep, you have to be somewhat relaxed, and while medication can kind of take the edge off of things and help the person relax some, of course there's a lot of side effects to medications, and none of the sleep medications even are designed for long usage. It's just to get you across a crisis situation. So it's important for anybody who has sleep problems to begin to learn the skill of relaxation and the skill of focusing your mind on your body, because that's where you can have real effect and be able to pretty quickly drop to sleep. So without the ability to relax, a person cannot sleep. And if you can't sleep, then that's a lot of problems. You know, the mind gets fuzzy, emotions get upset easily, and any of you who've experienced sleepless nights for any period of time know how chaotic that can be.
Mm-hmm. That can be very helpful. That can be very, very helpful for people. How many? Were you giving a number?
Yes, I was. I was just going to say there's 70 million Americans right now who aren't sleeping well at all. And that's a quarter of us.
Wow.
So it means every time you meet 4 people, one of them's not sleeping well at all.
Wow. You answered my question. I didn't even have to ask it. That was what I was going to ask.
Well, there we go.
There's a lot of people with that do have sleeping problems. And is the book mainly for helping people sleep? What about the group of people that sleep too much?
Well, they're usually depressed, the people who sleep too much. And so it's very helpful to find ways to express themselves and to talk to somebody that they trust so they can get out those feelings, because depression is like holding back or holding down. So, for instance, if you have toast, okay, and you put toast in a toaster and it pops up, it's done, it's ready to go. And that's how our emotions are, Patty. So, when emotion pops up, it's ready to be expressed, and it's coming out already in your body language, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so
if
you press that toast down, what's going to happen to the toast?
It's going to burn.
It'll get burnt, and that's what happens. We get burnt emotionally. We get burnt up. We get upset with ourselves and we get upset with others, but if we don't express it, then it gets hotter and hotter and more burnout, and that's why eventually we feel burnout, okay? Because we keep pressing down those emotions and pressing down those things that we want to say that we, that our heart and mind need to express, but they aren't being expressed. So if you continually do that for a long period of time, your body and your mind learn to lock down information and tighten up. So that's where the feeling of depression is tight, and the physical part of depression is also tight. So again, being able to learn to relax, and along with that, start to find somebody who you feel you can be safe in expressing at least a few little things with. That'll give you more confidence in expressing yourself, and it might be good to even find a counselor that you can work with that you feel good about, or a coach. NLP probably would be a really good one. And then, and so begin to bring you out of that situation so you can be natural. I remember one time when I kind of got this idea about toast, I was with a friend, and he and his wife had just had a baby, brought the baby home about 3 days after its birth, and so we were all out in their kitchen, and they put the baby in a little basket there by the toaster, and they were actually making toast. And when the toast came up, you know how it kind of bounds out of the toaster, it kind of springs out? At that same instant, the baby sprung a little bit. And so the baby felt the springiness of the toaster sprung itself. That's immediate emotions. Emotions come out. They come out now. They're already out. But if we hold them back, which, you know, as sometimes in our society and in our culture, we've learned to kind of repress things and push things down, and over years and years, that kind of adds up. So, again, get back to that place when you're a child again, when you're able to be free and express yourself freely and openly. That's our natural state.
Wow. Well, Bruce, this has been an incredible interview with you, and we are getting down to the wire. We're almost out of time, and before we run out of time, I'd like you to tell our listeners if you have any upcoming events or workshops, and also contact information so that they know how to get in touch with you.
Oh, sure, Peggy. Well, thank you for saying that. Well, yeah, actually, I do have a teleseminar coming up. It's going to be about sleep. It's so deep, Sleep So Deep teleseminar. And the title of the seminar is How to Turn Off Your Mind When You Turn Out the Lights.
Oh, great title.
A lot of people have trouble turning off that mind, keeps them up at night or wakes them up in the middle of the night with things that they want to finish. And so I'll be doing that on November 29th at 7 o'clock Eastern Time, 4 o'clock Pacific. So I think you can find your way in the middle there of the country. 7 o'clock Eastern Time on November 29th.
7 o'clock Eastern Time. Okay, and that's November 29th. And since the shows are archived, I'm going to say it's the year 2011. Okay.
Right. And what you can do is, if a person wants to tune into that, they can go to www.sleepsodeep.com and register for the teleseminar. And that page should be up tomorrow. We're just getting that together, so that page should be up tomorrow. And they can also reach me at bruce@sleepsodeep.com.
Okay. Why don't you repeat the website address and the email address one more time?
Sure. It's www.sleepsodeep.com. And my email is Bruce, also at sleepsodeep.com. And if you have a question about something that we've talked about already on the air today with Patty or anything else, then I'll be happy to chat with you and get back with you as soon as I can. And I know a lot of people will benefit from this teleseminar because we get right to the heart of what skills it takes, and we give you the skills in this whole seminar on how to get back to sleep or how to sleep in the first place, naturally.
That'd be very helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and is there a limit to the number of guests? Is this something they should do as while you still have openings?
Yeah, I think we're going to have a lot of people there that are on our list already, so it'd be a good idea to register as soon as you can.
Good.
Definitely.
Okay.
And it's a free teleseminar, no cost, just the time that you spend in learning how to improve yourself and feel better.
Mm-hmm. Great. So there you have it, listeners. It's sleepsodeep.com. And if you have a question, you can email bruce@sleepsodeep.com.
Hey.
And you also, I believe you have another website address?
I do. This is for people who want more information about my business consulting or my personal one-on-one NLP sessions. And that's bruce@skillfuldecisions.com. That's S-K-I-L-L-F-U-L. decisions, DECISIONS, .com. So Bruce at skillfuldecisions.com. And yeah, that has more information about NLP and some of the services that we have around how to help people in organizations. Or if you have an interest in getting an NLP session for yourself, which I do phone coaching as well, we can set that up through the Skillful Decisions site.
Okay, good. That was my another question I had. I wanted to know if you could do sessions over the phone because our listeners are all over the country and in other countries too.
Marvelous. So, I can Skype as well as just do in a regular phone.
Wonderful. Wow. Well, Bruce, and
interviewed me today, and so happy to hear that the Good News Show is continuing on and reaching so many people.
Thank you. It's a fun show to do, and it feels good to be able to spread good news, positive stories, and healthy lifestyle tips. As for your books, are they if somebody wants to purchase a book, where would they go?
Sure, you can go on to Amazon to get Your Way Home and Sleep So Deep. You can get through the website, and also Merging Two Nests, you can get through that website, which is merging, then the number two, nests, N-E-S-T-S, like a bird's nest, .com, so mergingtwonests.com, and so that book is available on that website.
Okay, good. Thank you for all of your information. We're down to, we have a couple minutes, and is there one last thing you'd like to tell our listeners before we sign off?
Well, one thing I do want to mention about the Your Way Home book and also the Merging Two Nests book, and for that matter, the Sleep So Deep book, too, is that the part in there about your environment, we know environment is so important these days. We're so aware of green and how to make our lifestyles more ecological and things like that. And my wife, Lou, has really written some fabulous and yet easy-to-implement information in each of these books about how to personalize your environment, specifically down to your bedroom, down to your bathroom, down to how you place things, and not according to a system, but according to how you feel about the environment and how you feel about yourself, or with Emerging Two Nests, book about how you and your partner agree to set up the space. So it's really fascinating, and I think that, as we all know, your environment does affect how you feel emotionally. And if you pay just some attention to that, you'd be surprised at how much better you'll feel. And it's almost subconscious because there it is already set up for you. It feels like you. It reminds you of you. It's, in a sense, a mirror of your heart and soul and what you put into the place.
Hmm. Wow. That's well put. Thank you. That was beautiful. What a beautiful way to end a show today. Thank you. Thank you, Bruce. And so, listeners, you've been listening to the Good News Show, and this is Patty Black broadcasting. We've been broadcasting live to you. I want to thank you for your loyalty. Send in those emails. Get in touch with Bruce. And stay tuned for our next show because we do have more shows that are coming down the pipeline so that we can share it with you and you can share it with your loved ones. And, Bruce, thank you so much. And I do hope at some later point in time we can have you back on the show.
Oh, I'd be glad to do that, and thank you so much for having me, Patty. It's been delightful talking to you and your body.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Bye-bye, Bruce.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
Okay, listeners, thank you for being with us today, and do access the website goodnewsshow.us. That's www.goodnewsshow.us, and you can access the archive shows that the Good News Show has presented, and you can also see what's coming up. So I want to thank you. It's been fun. And this is Patty Black signing off, and thank you for joining the Good News Show. Bye-bye.